If you think you can't go from politics to the divide, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, Carol Gold here with my co-host Steve Clark. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
The number here is 914-803-4522 if you want to jump in on the conversation. Steve, I watched Senator Ted Cruz today announce his candidacy for the 2016 presidential election, well, for the Republican candidacy for the 2016 election. And he did it at Liberty University in, what is that, Lynchburg, Virginia, I believe. And while there will be lots of people who would like to take him down and take him out for, and they will picket things like his citizenship and he's not eligible to run for president, or his repeated, or at least repeated mention to God or his Christianity in his nomination, in his speech today announcing. I have to tell you that I have now watched this man. I watched him when he filibustered in the Senate. Again, they'll also try to take him down for shutting down the government, which he didn't do. Only the House can do that, and the House is the one that didn't appropriate the funds, and he's a senator. But I watched him during that filibuster, which was something like 27 hours. He was on the Senate floor, or 18, whatever it was remarkable. And I watched a lot of that. And I watched him today. He is an incredibly bright man. He is incredibly articulate. And regardless of what you may think about his political stance, there is no denying that he is and will be a formidable candidate, both within the Republican Party and if he gets the nomination in the full presidential election. And, Steve, before we get into this on the show, I just have to say a couple of things about his background, because I think there are things about Senator Ted Cruz that, because he comes from the South, because he hails from Texas, and because he generally looks very buttoned up and neat, and he has a hairstyle that's maybe from another decade, people like to demean him for some very superficial reasons. But I think they should listen very carefully to James Carville and some other Democrats who are warning that this is a very formidable guy. Just a little background. I don't generally like to read it, but I am actually reading this off of Wikipedia, where I printed it out. He went to high school in Houston. He was valedictorian of his high school class. During high school, at age 13, he was part of a free market education foundation where he learned all about free market economics, like Milton Friedman and Friedrich Hayek and Ludwig von Mises. He also graduated cum laude from Princeton University with a Bachelor of Arts in Public Policy. He went to the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton, where he competed for the American Whig Cleosophic Society's debate panel. He won the Top Speaker Award at both the 1992 U.S. National Debating Championship and the 1992 North American Debating Championship. In 1992, he was named U.S. National Speaker of the Year and Team of the Year with his debate partner, David Patton. He was a semifinalist in the 1995 World Universities Debating Championship. He was Princeton's highest-ranked debater at that championship. He was Princeton's debate team leader, which was later named after him. It is called the Cruz Debating Championship at Princeton. His senior thesis was on the separation of powers, and it was titled Clipping the Wings of Angels. And it draws inspiration from a passage that's attributed to James Madison, which is, quote, if angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. He argued the drafters of the Constitution intended to protect the rights of the constituents, and that the last two items in the Bill of Rights offered an explicit stop against an all-powerful state. After graduating from Princeton, he went on to Harvard Law School, where in 1995 he graduated magna cum laude with a JD, a Juris Doctorate. At Harvard, he was the primary editor of the Harvard Law Review. He was executive editor of the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy, and he was the founding editor of the Harvard Latino Law Review. While at Harvard, his professor, Alan Dershowitz, no conservative, said he was, that he says it even to this day, that Cruz is off the charts brilliant. At Harvard, he was a John M. Olin Fellow in Law and Economics. He currently serves on the Board of Advisors of the Texas Review of Law and Politics. And when he got out of law school, he had two clerkships. He served as a law clerk to J. Michael Luttig of the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, and he served as the clerk for William Rehnquist, Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. He was the first Hispanic to ever clerk for a Chief Justice of the United States. This guy, the Democrats, want to make unqualified, which is what Barney Frank said, and other, not Brian King, they want to make him, Peter King, they want to make him unqualified to run for president of the United States when we have a community organizer with no experience currently destroying, in my opinion, the United States of America. It is absolutely astonishing to me, this poor underachiever called Ted Cruz.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, in some ways there are some similarities there between Barack Obama and Ted Cruz. They're both junior senators. They both don't have a lot of political experience. But that's where I think it ends. The ideology is completely different between the two of them. What I think could be really fascinating here, Carol, is that it's the first time in many generations, you know, at least since Reagan, that we're actually going to hear a true fiscal conservative Republican actually state his point to the cases. He's not a middle of the road guy. He's not a rhino by any means. He's a classic true blue conservative Republican that finally is going to be able to make his case to the American public about changing the direction of the economy and of the markets and of the direction of the United States. It's going to be fascinating for me to watch finally the public really get to hear somebody espouse those views unfiltered directly to the people and not influenced by the media. So I'm curious to think how you think the public is going to take him.
Well, you know, I think that people who watch the debates, the people who actually watch them are people who are actually looking for something. You don't watch a debate the way you sit down to watch, you know, a sitcom. If you're going to take the time to watch a debate, it's because you have some intellectual curiosity of your own, or you're actually looking to hear what these people have to say. I think these debates are going to be very, first the Republican debates within the Republican Party for the Republican nomination. I think they're going to be very interesting, much more interesting than they've been for a while, for a couple of reasons. Cruz, Rand Paul, Scott Walker even, perhaps, although not so much, I don't know for certain. I know Rand Paul can articulate his position pretty well, and he can he's interesting to listen to, and he's bright. And Cruz is a skilled debater. He knows what he believes in. He, too, is articulate. He's actually relentless when he's conveying what it is he believes in. And I think that the public is going to be, in a way, interested and perhaps, I don't want to say enlightened because that's probably not the right word, but I think the public's going to be engaged in a way they haven't been in a while, because I think we're actually about to get substance instead of form. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't rehearse his speech today, and I don't really know how long it was. I watched the whole thing. I don't know, maybe it was 20 minutes or 25 minutes. There was no teleprompter. It was off the top of his head. There weren't any notes, and it was flawlessly delivered. So we're now dealing with a true intellectual and a person who knows what they believe in, and I think the same thing probably about Rand Paul. And so I think the bench, the Republican bench, is deep and wide. And while you may not agree with the positions, I think the delivery is going to definitely be kicked up a notch, Steve, from what it has been in a long time. You know, my hope and my prayer, quite honestly, is that it's Ted Cruz and Elizabeth Warren. I actually hope Elizabeth Warren beats or somehow something, you know, Hillary Clinton destroys herself, and it's Elizabeth Warren. And the reason I hope that is because Elizabeth Warren is as committed to her principles as Ted Cruz is to his. And there will be legitimate choice if that happens. There will be two people who stand for what they believe in. They don't back down. While some people may think their positions are extreme on either side, they nonetheless are convicted about what they believe in, and they stand for what they believe in. And if that were the choice, it would be the first time in a long time that we'd actually have a choice. Because if it were Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton, it really doesn't matter which one you vote for. You get the same person. You get the same agenda, and you get the same end result, because you get two progressives. You know, Hillary's a little more left than Jeb is, but there's really not much distinction between the differences. Not so with a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul even less than Ted Cruz, in my opinion, Steve, because I've seen Rand Paul play to his audience, and I've seen Rand Paul compromise himself in Kentucky with his endorsement of Mitch McConnell. Not so Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz stands for what he believes in, and he is who he is. He told a remarkable story today about his mother, his father, even his wife. I did not know I knew his father was from Cuba. I didn't know the extent of his family background. He's really quite the remarkable guy.
Yeah, there's a couple of things here. I actually like the amount of choices that people get, because I think it's healthy for debate. I think, you know, both parties always try to limit the amount of people that come out there and try to, you know, really narrow down the choices because it benefits the party. I think we're in a new era. I think it really, I like the fact, you know, for example, in England or Australia or Canada, they have a bit of the parliamentaries, and they have or even in Israel, they have parties that you have to interact with, and you get to hear a lot of different opinions. And I think that's going to benefit the U.S. right now, because given the amount of problems that we have, I think it's really quite beneficial to hear many different points of view. And I think out of all of them, I think Scott Walker is really formidable as well, because he's done it. He's actually implemented some major policy changes in a state that's notoriously left-leaning, and really benefited the state and really brought it, I would say, you know, has done exceptional things. The thing about Elizabeth Warren that I do find fascinating is that I think she's actually quite talented, and I actually think that she gets right what a lot of the problems are, but her solutions are more the same thing that gets us at the same problem. So, for example, she really is quite good at talking about the problems in the banking business, but her solutions is always more government and more regulations, which in the end create bigger banks. So I think it'd be fascinating to see really two people who get what the issues are, but are going to be giving two radically different solutions if it is Cruz and Warren going for the presidency.
I agree. I also think that the establishment Republican the establishment Republican hierarchy, which are progressives, The Bushes, the Karl Roves, the Mitch McConnells, the John McCains, they're progressives, and they're going out to do in the conservatives. They're going to come at Ted Cruz, you know, with a mission. They're going to go after Rand Paul with a mission, because their solutions are like Elizabeth Warren's solutions. Because it doesn't really matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you're a progressive and you're a big government person, your solutions are the same. So I agree with you that while it would be fascinating to see people see the problem clearly, and both of them see the same problem, but present two radically different methods of solution, we have to get there, and the hurdle we have to get to first is to somehow get around this Republican establishment. And I think one of the reasons that Cruz didn't do an exploratory committee, which is what they always do, and one of the reasons that he announced on Twitter last night after midnight, is because he realizes, number one, I think it's going to be a Facebook-Twitter election. I think the last one showed us the forerunner of that. I think Barack Obama showed us the forerunner of politics in the future, elections anyway, A, because of the facile way that you can communicate and the speed with which you communicate, two, because of the youth and the vote of people who are in that age bracket, that's their medium of choice for communication. I think he was smart to do that. And I think that is a way around the establishment. I don't think they get it nearly as well as a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz gets it. I think a Karl Rove is a dinosaur who came up in the politics of machine politics in the traditional sense. I don't know, Steve, if you even seen the war that went on over the weekend between Karl Rove and Glenn Beck.
I did not. Why don't you throw us in?
Well, what happened was Karl Rove was on O'Reilly, and he took a lunge at Beck for because well, last week Beck was saying he's done with the Republican Party, he's done, he's finished, he won't give them a dime, he won't support, you know, if Jeb Bush runs, he'll actually vote for Hillary Clinton or someone other than a Republican. And so Karl Rove came on O'Reilly, and he took a shot at Glenn Beck and basically tried to say, you know, he's been saying that for a long time, and he's irrelevant, and blah, blah, blah. Well, Beck penned an open letter to Karl Rove on Facebook over the weekend, and while it was to Karl Rove, it really was to the GOP. It was to the mainstream, that hierarchy I was talking about earlier, that old machine politic mentality and structure. And he literally, I'm quoting, he said they had, well, I may be mixing up exactly his adjectives, but he did say they have, I think, the morals of whores and the ethics of pirates, among other things. And he listed all the things that the GOP said they were going to do if they won the House. You know, everything from Benghazi to amnesty to the deficit to Obamacare, blah, 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 all of which, none of which, they have actually done anything about. And so he laid out the Republican Party, and he said to Karl Rove, you want to take me on? Bring it on. Come on my show. I'll give you radio, I'll give you TV, I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you 6 hours. I'll give you anything you want. Let's do it. Come on and defend what the GOP has done. Glenn Beck also this week gave an open invitation. I think the invitation closes tomorrow night to Grover Norquist, because Beck's going to do a special on his internet show, his 5 o'clock television show on the internet. I think he's doing it Wednesday evening. He's doing a show on Grover Norquist and these alleged ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and him being a front person for Islamic extremism infiltrating the government. So it's a fascinating time, Steve, because there are people standing, there are people calling out. It isn't just Republican against Republican. There's a black, he's an announcer on, see on MSNBC. I forget where he is, and he, I think his last name's Smith. And he gave a presentation a few days ago. I watched the video. He basically said to the black community, you know, what are you doing voting Democrat? You know, the Republicans ended slavery. The Republican Party began as an effort to end slavery. That's where the Republican Party came from. And, you know, he went on and on and on about this thinking that the black community does. I think the statistic is that 95% of blacks vote Democrat in every single election since something like 1965.
Let me interject here, Carol.
Pardon?
Let me just interject. The announcer is Stephen A. Smith, and he's a sports reporter for ESPN, just so we have our facts straight.
Thank you very much. He was tremendous to listen to, and I'm pretty sure his rant, which wasn't really a rant, it was very calmly delivered. I'm sure it's on YouTube. I'm sure anybody can find it because it was just brilliant. But my point is, it isn't just a Republican against a Republican or a Democrat. It's the people are waking up and they've had enough, and they're not going to be silent anymore, and they're not going to not find a venue to vent because they realize that the alternative is really deadly in so many ways. Ted Cruz said in his speech this morning, how great would it be to have a president who was willing to take on Islamic extremism and willing to call it by its name? I mean, there are just a lot of people who are waiting to hear the truth. They really are. You know, the thing in media has always been, you know, tell people, don't tell them the truth, tell them what they want to hear, and if it bleeds, it leads. And I really think all of that is history. I really think people are hungry for the truth. It's how we were when Reagan followed, was it Carter? Did Reagan follow Carter?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, we're there. We're ready for a Ronald Reagan type because we've just done 8 years of a Jimmy Carter type, and we're not even done with this guy. You know, we're not done. We're watching him play tit for tat with Benjamin Netanyahu and our relationship with Israel like he's in a schoolyard, like he's an embittered little kid who's stamping his feet because he didn't get what he wanted, and he's still got a year and a half to go. So people are really hungry for not just superficial change. They're awake, and I think we as Americans are actually ready to take on some hard decisions, and that's why, like you, I look forward to honest debate. And I hope I hope and pray. I mean, if you're going to pray for anything, I feel like, Steve, we should be praying that these candidates on both sides, the Elizabeth Warrens, I don't know what the guy O'Malley from Maryland, I don't know enough about him, but the Ted Cruzes, the Elizabeth Warrens, let's pray they actually get to the stage, they get through the games that are played within their own parties, and get before the American people with an opportunity for us to hear some intelligent dialogue.
Yeah, I think the key point that I took away from the Stephen A. Smith interview and the post that he made, or the YouTube video that he did, was that, you know, you have to stop pandering to the black community. The black community should rise up, and you should make the Democrats fight for your vote. To the extent that the Democrats know that they're going to get 90% of the black vote each and every time, they know they don't have to do anything for the black community. Nothing gets done. They just sell them the lie that they're going to get essentially government assistance to help them out, and for that, the black community delivers 90% of the vote. And the reality is, if you look at other constituents, which is his point, they fight for what they want, and if you don't deliver to them, they vote for other people. They're more inclined to switch candidates and switch parties. So, for example, if you look at any election, it's called the typical swing vote. There's 20% of the population, supposedly in theory, that'll switch votes between Republicans and Democrats, depending on what's in it for them. And his point was that the blacks should be as tactical and as cunning as that 20%. They should, if they're not happy with what they're getting, they should switch their vote. And by doing so,
you would keep the politicians honest, and you would get more honest representation, which I think we all want.
I heard a great analogy about what Smith said, and it was this. If there were only two car dealers in your city, and you went into one car dealer and you said, I will never buy a car from you, ever. And then you went across the street to the only other car dealer in town and you said to them, I will never buy a car from that guy across the street. What's the best deal you're going to give me?
Exactly. That's a great point.
Not only would the guy say to you, hey, it's list price, you know, there's nothing I can do. He's going to say the next year you come in for a car, it's list price plus. I put on rust proofing and none of that can be taken off. So now it's list plus 1500, because that's the position that blacks have put themselves in. They know, the Democrats know, they're never going to vote Republican. And then they come to the Democrats and they say, well, what are you going to do for us? And the Democrats say, oh, I'll do everything for you. And then they do nothing for them because they have them lock, stock, and barrel. And that's really the crime that the black community perpetuates upon itself. And that's what Smith was saying. And he can say it openly and with more clout than any white person can, because he's preaching to his own choir, so to speak. And they're the kinds of people that I think are going to make the difference, because they're the people who are awake and vocal. And bless the ones that have a microphone. Bless the ones that have a bully pulpit. Bless the ones that have some kind of an audience and can spread the word. And actually, I feel like it's incumbent upon all of us to spread the word, even if your sphere of influence is nothing more than the block on which you live. You know, every vote really will count in the end. And we don't know what this next election is going to look like, how close or not close. But the thing that we want to be sure we do is vote intelligently and vote with an awareness and try for once. I mean, I guess they're all corrupt. I don't know if there's such a thing as a non-corrupt politician, but let's try to get the least corrupt we've had in a long time and the most confident. The most confident and the least corrupt would be a giant step forward, don't you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's the time. Like you said, I think this election, I'm actually quite optimistic, just in the sense the amount of dialogue that we should be getting from, you know, I think there's some great candidates. I think, you know, Rand Paul, Scott Walker, even Elizabeth Warren is quite eloquent and really doesn't speak the party line, and she actually has some interesting takes on things. So I think it's going to be enlightening for most people.
You think she'll be able to, do you think she'll get past Hillary Clinton?
She might. I think people are fed up with Hillary Clinton. I think there's a real, I think you touched on it before. Karl Rove comes from the old, you know, party machine politics, and I think that's where Hillary Clinton comes from. And, you know, for all it's worth, Barack Obama broke that mold, and he actually ran a new campaign and a new election. And I think, you know, he's opened up the door for a lot of these new candidates where they're going to want on some of the ideas, the tactical ideas that he presented to them. So I think, yeah, there's a real chance they can get around her now.
I want to believe that the Roves and the Clintons and that ilk are dinosaurs in an era when the environment simply won't support dinosaurs anymore. Hey, listen, thanks for listening to us here at Above the Fray. We love talking with you. We encourage you to spread the word and join us here Monday and Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Central. And until then, I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
Thanks for listening. This has been Above the Fray. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.